This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is the best lecture series. Lessons and talks on various Islamic topics.
Today's program:
an overview of Islamic social services with Dr. Ahmad Saqr.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa mawala. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له بذلك أمرت أن أول مسلمين. My dear respected sisters and brothers, I greet you with the greeting of Islam, and I say to all of you this morning, individually and collectively, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave us this golden opportunity to share our commonalities and our concerns and to work together as a team in this country as pioneers in this field. As it has been mentioned a few minutes ago, unfortunately, we Muslims, we are not trying to get involved in solving problems, especially when it comes to social services and family counseling. Now, time is very essential to all of us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a chapter about the time. Wal asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr, means the time is passing so much by seconds, and we should make use of it, inshallah. The family counseling is not only family counseling, although there are many other issues that we have to be concerned in any community. Whether you are a psychiatrist or psychologist or a family counselor or a religious leader. So everybody, and even father, mother, you are in the position of family counseling. For your children, no, it's not easy for your children to counsel. But you can counsel anybody except your own children. It's a human nature. You cannot tell them even about matrimonial education, but somebody else has to tell them. It's a human nature. Now, usually in the Sharia course and even this course, usually I try to present at least the student-teacher relationship in order that we respect each other, honor each other, not to hit each other or chase each other and then insult each other. And this has been written 960 some years ago by Imam Hamid al-Ghazali, Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, and I translated them. The same thing, this is student-teacher. I'm not going through them, but at least let you know. And that is the teacher-student, how we should be to each other and respect each other. It's very fantastic how the old-timers have thought of each other relationship, which is very, very important. And whenever you want to deal with any person, and you have to make sure, pledge of disputed parties. If you don't tell them this, you might be in trouble. But you are insured with insurance, so at least you are being protected. But Imam Muhammad is not insured, and therefore anybody can come and accuse you and say he insulted me or he interfered in my private. And either they will sue you, otherwise they may shut the phone in your face and tell you, get out of here. Here is a pledge of the parties that they are ready to listen to you. Unfortunately, because family counseling takes place in a Muslim center, people take it for granted. They will listen to you. No, you have to listen to them. And you sit hour after hour and they want to talk and talk and talk and talk. Ya akhi, please tell me what's the story. I want to know what is the problem. And then he'll bring you before they married, after they married, 10 years ago, up till now, day by day. I said, well, do you want me to sit with you hours after hours? And then here is a pledge that they will not sue you. They will listen to you and they are ready to do whatever you tell them. Unfortunately, no matter what you tell them, they don't take it for granted unless you have the power of legislation, legal and executive. Unfortunately, these are not in our hands. The legislation means the Congress, legislate power. The legal means the court, the judge, and the lawyer. The executive power means the police and the jail. You cannot take them to any place of these. And unfortunately, therefore, you have to make them to sign an agreement that they are not ready to listen and abide by what you tell them, and they are not going to sue you, and they are not going to spread rumor against you. The idea of family counseling is not only family counseling. The most important is social services. Unfortunately, we are not rendering these social services, except very few, if we have. The Islamic social services, I'll get them to you one by one. The general introduction that we need to render social services, and you see them. I'll go through them one by one, and you see how many social services we have and we have to have. Without the social services, we cannot live as a community. Family counseling is one of them. So today and tomorrow we'll spend only on one item of the social services, but see how many social services you have heard yourself. As a Muslim, you have heard of these, you participated in many of them. First one, of course, you have the marriage, you have walima, and you have aqiqa. And you know the aqiqa is when you have a child and you make a party for it. The second social service that we go through is Bismillah party. Ameen party. Now, we Arab, we didn't know Bismillah party and Ameen party. We learned it from the subcontinent. Yes, it's good to have Ameen party, but even Bismillah party, I had to participate in all of these. Is it bid'ah? Somebody will tell you bid'ah. How could you dare to have this? This is not in Islam. You innovated. So you have to be very careful. I go to them. I say, which is better in America? To have dancing party or to bring them for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Quran. And Bismillah, let everybody come, and then you quote from Quran how important the Quran. I can go now and tell you what you should say there, but it is time consuming. You tell them, if you want to talk to Allah, and you want Allah to talk to you, open the Quran and read. And you tell them, for us Arab, for every letter we read, we get 10 hasanat. You non-Arab, you get 20 hasanat for every letter. You encourage them like this. Every letter. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alif, Lam, Mim, three letters. You get 30 times hasanat for Arabic speaker. For non-Arabic speaker, you get 60. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is 21 letters. So you get 210 or 420. So which is better? So encourage them. When people come for Quran, you feel happy. And when you finish reading Quran, although they don't know anything about Quran except mimicking, so what? But your son, mashallah, who read Quran is so beautiful. A non-Arab reading Quran with melodic voice like this young brother, son of who? Whose mother? God bless you. So I'm happy to see, I wish every son and every daughter have that type of feeling to read Quran with love. I'm sure the mother and father feel happy when their children are in that capacity. Now, the other thing, Ayat Karima. We never heard Ayat Karima. Maybe you have heard it. No. I'm glad to share with me. I said, what is Ayat Karima? They told us, don't you know? I said, no. Don't you know the dua of Yunus alayhi salam? I said, of course I know. That's Ayat Karima. So they make a party in it. Not party. I mean, they make a social or religious party, if I use the word party. And they have to read La ilaha illa ant subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin 125,000 times. From where they invented it? It's a bid'ah. I don't know. If you tell them bid'ah, khalas, you lost your people. You lose them. You go and observe and sit with them and then see what they do. They bring you bushels of peas or corn or whatever it might be. Bushels, 125,000 pieces. And each and every brother and sister sit on the floor and they say, count. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. That is dua Yunus. You know, Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, when he was engulfed in the tummy of the whale, he said, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. What did Allah say to him in Surah Al-Anbiya? Fastajabna lahu wa najjaynahu min al-gham wa kadhalika nunji al-mu'mini. We listened to his crying voice. We answered him. And whoever is going to read this ayat al-Karima, Allah is going to save you from the trouble. Beautiful. But why 125,000 times? I don't know. I asked Dr. Muzammil Siddiqui. He said, I don't know. I said, why? He said, maybe there was a Mawlana in India and the people there, 125,000 people. He said, read it 125,000. But I read in the Quran more and more. I found maybe it's a true answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he saved him, then he sent him, فَأَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَى مِئَةِ أَلْفٍ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ. We have sent him to 100,000 people plus. That plus in Arabic is quarter, so 125,000. So maybe they said, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him and sent him to 125,000, so why don't you read it 125,000? Very good. Now, which is better? To go and goof around and backbite each other or attend a social activity of this nature?
You are listening to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr. We will be back after this short break.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mother of Alqama, may God be pleased with them, reported that Aisha, may God be pleased with her, said, "A man with a physical defect passed by a group of women, and they joked among themselves about him. Later, some of those same women were crippled by the same disease."
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
IBN is your voice. Let us know what you think of our broadcast. Email us at feedback@ibn.net or call our feedback line at 703-241-9659, extension 6. Your opinion counts.
Welcome back to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr.
Now we are talking about social services now, including to family, we'll come to it. The other one is sickness. Same thing, if there is sickness, people get together and read Ayat Karima or make dua shifa for them. The death and burial, would you go there? The more you get involved in washing a dead person, the more you are preparing yourself to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the more you'll be scared in doing anything haram. How many of you went into the grave? When you go into the grave itself, 6 feet down, and you have to raise your hand and welcome the deceased, but that's the worst thing to do. It's scary, because the soil might fall upon you and you'll be over. Now, you know Nafisa, the granddaughter of Imam Hussein, she used to go to her own grave every day and read Quran in the grave, and she finished Khatmi Quran. You know, Amin party, Khatmi Quran. Khatmi Quran, she finished the reading Quran 140 times, finishing reading the whole Quran inside her grave. Now they tell you don't have the right to go to the cemetery, huh? You women, they tell you, some Muslims, you're haram to go to the cemetery, but to come to parties, halal. So she went to the cemetery and she stayed in her grave daily, back and forth, and she finished reading Quran 140 times. And she prayed to Allah, when I die, please Allah, let me die in a state of roza, siyam. When she was sick, they told her to break fast. She said, no, this is the time I'm preparing myself to welcome Allah, to be welcome, to go to Allah when I'm in a state of fasting. So the idea of death and burial, you know, I wrote 2 books. One is Life, Death, and Life After, which is really, so many youth were scared and they were making haram. They stopped. They said, this book scared me. I'm now in good shape with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second book was Death and Dying. What happens to you and to me at the time of death? All of us are going to die, whether we like it or not. What's going to happen to you personally at the time of death? Shaitan will come to you at the time of death to sway you and get you out of Islam. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, you know, 4 school of thought for Sunni. One is Abu Hanifa, one Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and one is Shafi, one is Maliki. He was one of the most staunch imam against the Khalifa. And the Khalifa, Ma'mun, was beating him in the jail just to say Quran is makhluk. He said, no, Quran is not makhluk. So out of wounds, later on, while he was in a state of coma, of dying, his son came to him and told him, my father, would you kindly say shahada? He said, no, get out of my face. Daddy, you told us to say shahada talqeen for the man who is in the state of death. You tell us, tell the deceased person in the process to die, say shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. No, get out of my face, several times. Later, the father, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, woke up from his coma. His son said, Daddy, what's going on? I was telling you to say shahada, you are telling me no. He said, I was not talking to you. Shaitan came to me, telling me if I believe in Jesus as my personal savior, son of God, I'll go to Jannah. So I was telling him, no, get out of my face. Which means Shaitan can come to you and to me on two different occasions. Anytime you want to go to sleep, your brain is not functioning as strong as it is. Shaitan comes to sway you to do haram. And at the time of death also. So we have to learn all these social and talk to our people about social services. This is part of it. Unemployment. How many people come to you unemployed? Can you find me a job? Yes. So many came to me unemployed. Can you find a job? No, you are not in the business of finding a job. Do we have a list of the community who's who? No. Do we know who has a grocery store? Not liquor store, astaghfirullah. Who has any type of a job that they may seek a help, any type of a help? No, how can we solve a problem who has no job? There is a spiritual way, there is technical way. Spiritual way will tell you later how you can find a job. Many came to me without a job for 5 years. In 3 days, they found 3 jobs. What? We gave them the prescription. Well, it's not magic, but we'll let you know. Put it as a note. If I forget, you remind me, huh? How to find a job through spirituality and through daily life. The foreclosure. Many people lost their houses and they tell me, can you find somebody who is ready to buy my house? Who's going to buy your house? We don't have the money to buy housing. Now, family counseling. There are too many things to talk about it. One of them is husband-wife relationship problem. And many of them are, we are facing them every day. You are lucky, 20 hours a week. Me, 24 hours, family problems. Can you imagine people call, as you said, from Mecca, from the most noble family who are the custodian of the Kaaba door. A lady called me from there. I don't know how she got my name. And she is asking a way of solving her divorce problem. Now you have all the imams in Mecca. The center of Islam is there. The whole imams of the world are from there. You come and call on the phone long distance. From South Africa, they called me to solve a problem. Puerto Rico, regular, they called in order to help to solve problem for others. So when people know you, they call you every day from nowhere. How did they get my name? I don't know. Phone number? I don't know. I don't care. I don't ask them their names, their anything. It's a case that I have to discuss with them. And really, they cry and they make me to cry. When I was young, never I cried. But now, anytime I hear a story, I cry with them and my voice is shut. Whether on the phone or whether face to face when they are facing me and coming and coming. The other thing, parent-children relationship, we have too many of them now. Parents of immigrants, they think they are the boss. Whether husband-wife, the husband still up till now feels he is the boss. Because we misunderstood the idea, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. قِوَامَة is not a boss. Boss is Allah. So if you put yourself a boss, you are Allah, that is shirk. قِوَامَة means you are responsible for the whole family. Financially, morally, socially, economically, and whatnot, and protection, and whatnot. And the final authority to execute the shura is in your hand. But parent relationship, we have seen so many miseries, beating. Yes. And some of our girls are leaving the houses, running away with boyfriends, Muslims, huh? There are so many. Now, the other thing is marrying from non-Muslims. I don't know how many of you have seen it. I'm seeing it regularly. Even Muslim girls want to marry non-Muslim boys. They tell you, what's the difference? Here is a Muslim boy, he drinks,
He has girlfriend. This American, never. This Muslim boy does not pray. So what's the difference, daddy, mom? The other is separation and divorce. We have seen so many of them. Unfortunately, every day we are having this. Many people come to me, 100% divorce. No way. Come and make me the divorce paper. I said, I'm not responsible for divorce. Alhamdulillah, after we sit with them session after session after session, they go 180 degrees from 100% divorce to 100% sweetheart to each other. Sometimes with one session, they turn into loving to each other. They come with separate cars, they go in the same car. Why? Yeah, you have to scare them. You have to tell them, now you are going to die. Would you go to hell or you go to Jannah? Why you are fighting each other? On what? Worldly affairs, money, business, whatnot? The other thing is the divorce and khula. Many times people come, sisters come to me. For 3 years, my husband got rid of me and he doesn't take care of me and he does not want to divorce me. And he thinks and he believes that divorce is in his hand. I have no right to divorce. I said, no, you have the right to divorce him. Islamically, it is called khula. You go and tell the judge, Muslim judge or Muslim imam, this is my situation, but he has to verify it, and accordingly he'll give you khula, which is divorce. Any husband who does not take care of his wife 4 months, 6 months or more, according to different schools of thought, he has no right on her. She has the right to say, I separate myself from you, I divorce you from me, khalas, it's over. Because he is responsible. How can he leave her by herself? Even during divorce, both of them should be in the same house, idda. The idda of the wife, 3 months, and they have to stay in the same house. No, they are in different house. I said, since you are in different houses, so what are you talking about? And one case in Seattle, he told me it's over. I said, it's over, why you are asking me to help you? He said, I already... The apartment, I gave it out. I told her, go to your family. And we want to settle it. I said, you want to divorce? You have to go and sit in the same house. He said, no, it's over. I said, over, go. Do whatever you want. The idda is inside the house. Why inside the house? Read the chapter in Quran, Talaq. 3 months, they have to stay together in the same house separately, looking at each other, scaring each other, but at least... A day will come when they smile to each other, sorry, honey, sweetheart, they come back. And that's the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keeping them both in the same house. But many people, I feel sorry that most of us came from the Muslim world. We are highly educated in science and technology. When it comes to Sharia, whatever Mawlana told us, khalas, it's over. And Mawlana doesn't know everything in Sharia. Mawlana might have been a memorizer of the Quran, mimicking like a computer without knowing the detail.
You are listening to the Best Lecture Series. We will be back after this short break.
This is Yusuf Estes speaking to you on behalf of the Islamic Broadcasting Network, a subsidiary of the Islamic Media Foundation. We would like at the Islam Today Project to endorse and encourage all of us to contribute to this wonderful project. After all, we in America need to have our voice, and IBN is the voice of American Muslims. Your contribution of a single dollar per day will help keep IBN on the air, as long as Islamic Broadcasting Network is on the air. You'll be able to hear the voice of Yusuf Estes on Islam Today. So we have a vested interest more than one way to keep IBN on the air and the voice of American Muslims. Seriously, I want to let you know that I personally have made my commitment to the $1 a day to help keep Islamic Broadcasting Network broadcasting. And I'd hope that you'll do the same thing. It's a simple dollar, a cup of coffee, a Pepsi, and it's only $1. Make the commitment now. Go to the internet. Type in IBN.net and see how you can make your contribution through the internet or call. Pick up the telephone and call 703-241-9659. Let me repeat the number again. If you're driving, don't have a wreck, you can go to the internet and get it there. 703-241-9659. It's a dollar a day. It keeps IBN out there on the air for American Muslims. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Best Lecture Series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr.
The idda, the custody is a problem, the alimony and mahr. Now, unfortunately, there are so many cases that we are receiving now. I officiated a marriage 3 weeks ago. Second week, they came to me, it's over. Yeah, what happened? They did not consummate the marriage, but because they wrote $5,000 late mahr, the girl, relative, said to the boy, you are divorced, get us $5,000. I said, come on, where in the world? Even if you divorce her, she divorced him, she has no right. Even in American law, you cannot have anything if before consummation takes place, nobody has anything. It's annullation of the marriage and nobody has the right. Islamically, he has no right on anything. And even if he has given her so many things and yet not consummated, half of what he gave her will stay with her and half will take her. But you see, there are so many things that need to be discussed in family laws. Now the alimony, mahar, people now, at least in mahar, they talk too much about mahar, 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 mahar. Believe me, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told, amhir walau bi khatam min hadid. Even khatam is a ring of metal, not jewelry, not gold or silver or anything. But here you see, they bring you the box of all the jewelry to brag about it. And I found that people also, they don't mean that this is for her. They just bring it to show and then they hide it away. It's cheating, lying. From beginning you cheat. Cheat who? Now the in-laws, unfortunately, we have too many and we might have to spend today and tomorrow something on the in-laws. Many times the in-laws are the troublemakers out of good intention. We'll talk about the mother-in-law because mother-in-laws or mothers-in-law, there are two types of mother-in-law, your mother-in-law and his mother-in-law. And that's true. Father-in-law, same thing. Father-in-law, his father-in-law. We have two groups and each one, they are supposed Islamically to be together to help the youngsters to live peacefully. We are ending up fighting for jealousy. I will tell you later more that the mother-in-law of the son, the mother-in-law of, I'll take you as a case study. I hope you don't mind. Who told you to sit in the front? Suppose your mother-in-law, I hope she's not here, huh? Mother-in-law, she feels that you are a thief, you have stolen her son, and her son is supposed to give her all the money of his wealth when he started being a professional person. You thief, you stole her son, and he's giving you everything. So we'll feel that type of problem, that you have to live with it. We have all the prescription how to deal with it. Daughter-in-laws, unfortunately, are a scapegoat to many. Son-in-laws, and then we'll go on sister-in-law and brother-in-law. We have all the information about it, tips how we have to handle ourselves. Now, the other thing that will be in the social services still. We're talking about social services, huh? We didn't go yet to family. Inquiries. How many times people come to you and ask you about inheritance? How we distribute inheritance? I had so many cases, people coming to me, we want to see. Her father in India or Pakistan had left so much, and he prescribed so many things, it turned to be an Islamic. So, shall we enforce what he said, or shall we enforce what Islam says? If we enforce what he said, we displease Allah. If we enforce what Allah wants, we insult him in his grave. I said, which is better? Let him feel unhappy in the grave? No, he will feel happier in the grave that we corrected him. But there are rules and regulations of inheritance, really. It needs a course by itself. It's not easy to go through it. There are so many cases one by one. Abortion. Oh, you are in the field. How many times people came to you and say, we want to abort? How many times you have heard even fuqaha, early fuqaha, says before 4 months, you may abort. Why? Because the soul did not come yet into the flesh of the fetus. I said, well and good. If this is true, and it is true, but is it because of that I have to abort? I said, if it is that conclusion, when you go to sleep, all of you, me, your soul get out of your flesh and float over your body. You are dead. And Allah says it very clearly, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtiha wallati lam tamut fi manamiha. Allah makes you to die at the time of death, and if Allah not making you to die, He said you die at the time of sleeping because your flesh, your soul get out of your flesh. But you see dreams, and still your body is moving, but your soul is out. Now the fetus, his soul is still out. He is still moving and eating and drinking, whatever I mean you call it, through the blood of his mother. So does this mean that because the soul is not yet impregnated into the zygote or the fetus, I have the right to abort that fetus? If yes, then I have to kill everybody who is sleeping. Therefore, abortion is not acceptable, period, unless and until the life of the mother is at stake. If the mother is at stake, then a group of physicians, Muslim physicians, non-Muslim, because the standard is different, and with a Muslim alim, not a Mawlana memorizer of Quran, a alim, who knows what is halal, what is haram, sit together and discuss it. Now, suppose abortion, through CAT scan and ultrasound and all the tests, they found that the fetus is going to become a baby with deformities. Would you abort? She said no. What does Allah say is in the creation of a human being as well as the universe? In Surah Al-Kahf, ما أشهدتهم خلق السماوات والأرض ولا خلق أنفسهم وما كنت متخذ المضلين عضدا. He said, I did not want to show you how I created the whole universe, not even you, in the tummy of your mother, in order not to be scared. When you are building a house and you go inside when it is still under construction, don't you be scared? And you see all the deformities and something might fall on your head? Wait till the house is over ready, you see how beautiful it is. Wait till the baby fetus becomes 7 months, 8 months, then it might be everything is honey and sweet. But at that time of 3, 4 months, everything is deformities. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it, and suppose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to give you a baby deformed in order to let you go to Jannah. And He says, I want to give you the credit and I want to see how patient you are when I decide whether you are going to stop me from my decision and you tell me you don't know how to create, I know how. Because the doctor told me so and so, so I follow the doctor. He said, the key to go to Jannah is your fetus when it is deformed, so as to raise that baby deformed for a day or two, a month or two, and then God is going to take that from you in order to go to Jannah. You say, no. He said, go to Him. It's up to you. Many cases came to us with ladies who want to abort. When we discuss it, alhamdulillah, they stopped it. Say, I'm ready to accept whatever Allah gives me, even deformed, I'll take it because I want to go to Jannah. But it's up to you. Some of them have done it before. Now they are asking, they started crying, say, I wish I called you a long time ago. I wish I knew this in advance. So, but it's up to you. The other one, adoption and fostering. Many Muslims do adopt. We are still talking about social services. Do you adopt? You adopt. How many agree to the concept of adoption? One and two. The others don't want? Or you don't like the concept? You don't? Raise your voice.
I have enough
children. Very good. It's good to sometimes try that.
You are listening to the Best Lecture Series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr. We will be back after this short break.
The Islamic calendar follows a lunar cycle of 12 months. Each month is either 29 or 30 days, depending on the moon sighting. An Islamic year has approximately 354 days. Each year, the months move backwards by about a week and a half through the months of the Gregorian English calendar. Because of this, Islamic annual rituals are in different seasons each year. For example, the holy month of Ramadan, which is the ninth month, is sometimes in the winter and sometimes in the summer. It was during the rule of the Khalifa Umar that the beginning date for the Islamic calendar was fixed, according to the year that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, made his migration from Mecca to Medina. So, the year 622 AD is our zero. This has been a minute of Muslim civilization from IBN.
He's lazy. She's stupid. He's a racist. That one's greedy. And there's a terrorist.
If you look at people and all you see are labels, everyone loses.
Labels hurt all of us and they're wrong.
Every one of us is unique, a one-of-a-kind original.
Every one of us is a one-of-a-kind original.
Every one of us is a one-of-a-kind original. Our diversity is our strength. Instead of stereotyping, we can all learn from each other.
Don't let prejudice shape your view. Take the time to get to know people and see for yourself who they really are.
We are all one, one of a kind.
Stereotyping is wrong, and it hurts all of us. Stop stereotyping.
A message from your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Best Lecture Series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr.
Do you know Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his mother, also his father died before he was born, and then his mother died, his grandfather died. Who took care of him? Uncle Abu Talib. But he put him in his house. What's the name of his wife? Because when he took that baby, child, he told his wife, take care of him. What was her name? You, sister, you should tell us, because it's a lady. Because the lady inside the house was to take care of him, yes? That wife had 12 children. Huh? You have enough children, huh? That lady, wife of Abu Talib, had 12 children. And she said, never mind, I will take another one. It's a lesson, huh? What's her name? I don't know. You, sister, you should bring us all the names of the ladies who did favor and good thing in the history of mankind, history of Islam. Her name was Fatima. For that reason, he called one of his daughter Fatima out of love to her aunt, to his auntie. So did she adopt him or she fostered him? Fostered. So Islam refuses 100% adoption, no adoption. But still there are Muslims who adopt. You see, the only difference between adoption and fostering, adoption, you change his biological name to your name. Fostering, you keep his biological name. That's the only difference. You know why? If you foster a girl and you foster a boy, you don't know his... No, if you adopt a girl and you adopt a boy, who knows? After they grow up, it happened to be they are brother and sister that they didn't know, and you didn't know, you didn't know. They marry each other. Because you change their biological name, you change biological name, it happened, they met, they married, brother and sister. So adoption is completely haram. You can read chapter 33, Surah Al-Ahzab, how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was forced to tell Zayd to divorce his wife, and then Allah pushed him to go and marry that wife, to nullify the concept of adoption and to encourage the idea of fostering. We are still talking about social services, because the first session is to refresh our memory how much we have on our shoulder to take care. And each section need one department, by the way. Poor imam has to take care of, and you sisters, psychologists, psychiatrists, and professional people, family counselor, you are facing with all these social. The idea of surrogate mothers. and test tube babies. Do you want to talk on them or just it's part of the problem that we say? Raise your voice.
It's important.
It's important. Surrogate mother. I mean, test tube babies, even test tube babies, somebody come and say, is it halal or haram? I say, I don't know what is test tube baby. Oh, don't you know? Everybody talk about it. I say, would you kindly explain it to me? They may tell you one out of varieties. And then I'll bring him varieties. Oh, come, you told me you don't know and you know all varieties. I said, because I want to know exactly what you mean. Because even test tube babies, it could be between the husband and wife, or it could be sperm somewhere else and over somewhere else, and they give it to you, and it became scientific technological prostitution. And this is what happened at the medical center of Irvine in California. It was a technological prostitution. They have the sperm somewhere else, the ova somewhere else, and gave it to a lady, and they got $20,000. And now when they were caught, two of them ran away out of the country, and the third one is facing charges, medical doctor. So, I mean, test your baby. If it is between husband and wife, well and good. If it is outside, it's prostitution. And therefore, you have to know. And even between husband and wife, I don't know. Did you ask anybody who want for test tube babies how difficult it is? Because they have to impregnate it back. One lady said, too much for me, and we don't know what to do. After they did, she did it several times, it did not work. Still they have in the test tube 6 fertilized zygote, whatever you call it.
Eggs.
God bless you. 6 fertilized eggs. What to do? Shall we throw them? Or will be charged in the day of judgment? And the mother, or the wife, she had 3 children, she wants more, she went through it. But now she said too much, it is, they give her medication to the extent she doesn't want to have that type of trouble anymore. I said, I don't know. You want to throw them? Then you are being asked in the day of judgment. You want to use them? You paid already, they paid more than $20,000 for the trying. It didn't work, but still now they have 6 fertilized eggs. It's not. It's a social problem, it's a psychological problem, medical problem, a spiritual problem. What to say? You have to go through it. Who told you to do it? You want to give it to somebody else? It will be surrogate mother. Does Islam allow surrogate mother? It's prostitution, utilization another lady for, and then it will be who's who? Cloning. Is it acceptable ethics? I had to give 2 hours or more in Singapore. I think either Singapore or Hong Kong, but mostly in Singapore. I had a series of lectures there. One of them was about cloning. And I have all slides for 2 hour slides about cloning. And the ethics behind it and whatnot, and how difficult it is to allow it to happen to a human being, because there will be so many ethical problems that we have. Now, another social problem that we are facing is the economic services, zakat. Most of us who came from the Muslim world think that zakat for who?
Poor.
Raise your voice because I can. Needy. Even poor, huh? There are 2 varieties. One is poor, one is needy. Is it true? مؤلفة قلوبهم غارمي وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل. Now, can we? There are 2 families. One family out of job completely. MashaAllah. Now, we have supposed 2 families. One family has no job at all, no income. Another family has a job, has income, has a house, has car, but their income is very minimum. Would you give that family also? The one has a car and a house and has income, but the income is so small? In Quran, there are 2 types of families. One is fuqara, faqir. One is masakin, miskin. A faqir who has nothing. A miskin who has a house, car, and job, but the income is less than. They have children. Suppose they have 6 children and the income is not enough. That you have to give them. No. In Chicago, when I was there, they said, no, let him sell his car. I said, if he sells his car, how will he go to job? Walking? No, let him stand at the station and then take the bus. La hawla wala quwwata. See how much they want to make more difficult on Allah. Allah says it, yes, give him. So as at least he will be survived. Who told him to have 12 children or 6 children? You want also to decide, have family control, all family planning and family control, as far as they will not have children. You should encourage having children. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had had from Aisha, no, from Khadija. Khadija, she was 40 years old and she brought him 6 children after 40. True? Yes. He had 4 girls and 2 boys. Now, if I ask you what are the names of his girls, you sisters. One? Fatima is one. One by one, yeah. Umm Kulsum. Zainab. Ruqayya. Wallah, very good. Alhamdulillah. And the 2 boys from Khadija? Ibrahim from Aisha. And from Khadija? From Maryam. Oh, from Maryam, I meant from Maryam. But from Khadija? What is the nickname of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Abu al-Qasim. So he had al-Qasim and Abdullah. At any rate, now we go to the zakat, the idea of amilin alayha. Would you employ somebody to go and collect zakat and say your salary from the zakat? Allah says yes. I said you have to have 6 categories of employees for zakat. One of them, social service, to go and look who are in need in the community. You have to employ them. To look for them. Who's who? To find out whether they are big family, small family, social service employee. Another one, the one who collects. The third one is the CPA and the accountant. The fourth one is the one, the secretary, to do all the typing, the computer, whatnot. The fifth one is the investor to invest the money. Because when you get the money, what to do with it? You put it in the bank till you distribute, and invest. You have to invest the money, and then the rest of the money you give it, and there, whatever is left, you go and invest it so as to make more money out. And the sixth group of people are the ones who go from house to house carrying the food or the money and give the money to those needy people. Are you ready to employ 6 groups of people for the zakat only? No way, no way. Everything free. Why don't you do it free? No, Imam Muhammad, you have to do it everything on our behalf. Because you are in that position and all of them are sitting, watching, enjoying and criticizing you. Ma'alish fi sabilillah.
You are listening to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr. We will be back after this short break.
This is Voyager 2. Its journey will take it to the furthest reaches of our solar system to collect information to help scientists learn more about ourselves and the worlds beyond. Future scientists like little Miriam. You see, Miriam is learning that the search for knowledge never ends, and she's getting an early start on a journey that should last a lifetime. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. This message has been brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors.
This public service announcement is brought to you by the Islamic Media Foundation.
Sponsor a program on the Islamic Broadcasting Network, IBN. Expose your organization or business name to the listeners of IBN in the Washington, D.C. metro area and nationwide and worldwide through our live internet broadcast. Support IBN Dawah efforts. Make the call and sponsor a program today. Get your name into thousands of homes nationwide and worldwide. For more information, call IBN at 703-241-9659.
Welcome back to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr.
Fitra, of course. Can I give my fitra to my... No, by the way, zakat, can you give your zakat to father and mother?
No.
Can you give zakat to your brother and sister?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Sure?
If they deserve it.
Without condition? If what?
If they deserve it, if they need it.
Ah, even if they deserve it. Is it a blank yes or blank no?
Blank yes.
There is nothing called blank. It's conditioned. Conditioned. Your brothers and sisters may receive zakat if and only if. If they are eligible, not financially, no. If you have children, your brothers and sisters cannot receive inheritance. So they have the right to have zakat. If you don't have children, they will inherit from you. So they have no right on zakat. But you are obliged to help them. You are obliged to support them. You don't call it zakat from the zakat calculation. It's sadaqah or whatever. You say it's a gift and so on. See, it is conditioned in order. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to recycle the money within the family itself, and He wants to give it to the rest. The fitrah is to be given to the needy Muslims in the locality. You cannot send it overseas. You cannot send it overseas. They have to be in the neighborhood. Relief organizations, shall we give them? But they have employees. They should do it free. We said zakat. You have to employ people, and therefore even relief organization, we have to employ people. How therefore they have to live? But how? I'm sending it to Bosnia. They are using 10% of it for employment. I said, of course they have to use 10%. Even IRS allowed it 20%, up to 20%. Unfortunately, non-Muslim organizations in America were using 90% and sending 10%. So IRS told them, no, you cannot use more than 20%. Loan without interest. Would you give loan? Karza Hasana? Yes, we suppose. But our experience say, there are crazy Muslims. If they tell you, give me sadaqah, you give him $50 to $100. If they give me qarza hasana, $5,000, you know they are smart. They tell you $5,000 because I'll give it back to you. They may not give it any more. So our experience and our habit is, if you want to give it away, give it away. Even if they write a piece of paper, whatnot, don't expect that Muslims are going to give it back to you, unfortunately, unless they are honest and sincere. So tell them, I give you a gift, don't give it back to me. No, I'll give it back to you. You want to give it back to me, give it anywhere. But to give money as qarza hasana, unfortunately, we have seen the bad part about it, rarely to come back to you. If it comes back to you, that is a gift that can buy. Unfortunately, although we should help, huh? Don't misunderstand me. But unfortunately, many Muslims misuse it and abuse it. The scholarship. Do we have scholarships? Do you give scholarships to students in the range of? We had a group of brothers in Los Angeles. They made a foundation among themselves. They call it FAITH, Foundation for American Islamic Teaching and Heritage. The first year they gave 25 scholarships, each one 2,000, means $50,000. And they will continue it till they graduate. The second year they made it 50, and they will continue. And they made also a type of panels and debates among the young boys and girls to encourage them how to prepare speeches, how to defend Islam, whatnot. And they employed also 3-4 people to maintain this. After 1 year, they had to shut it off and to cancel everything because they have heard so many criticism. How come you give his son, not my son? How come you give this and not me? And they started being accused every day. They said, khalas, you Muslims, you don't deserve. So they shut it off. Unfortunately, we Muslims, we receive so many good and blessing from neighboring Muslims, but we stop it for no reason. Grants, do we give grants? For what? Grants for what? The same group, FAITH, gave grants to Muzammil Siddiqui because he had a radio program once a week. They gave to IIS, Islamic Information Service. They gave Iqra Foundation in Chicago grant in order to promote them. But also people are accusing. They say, why should I give grant? But shall we stop doing the good because somebody criticized me? So would you continue to give grants to any noble cause, or you say they don't deserve, so you don't deserve? How you are going to go to Jannah if you don't participate in doing? Sadaqah. Would you give sadaqah? Now, whenever you give zakat or sadaqah or anything, please do not tell that person, I'm giving you zakat. Why? Why in the world you tell him, I'm giving you zakat? There are a group of Muslims who will tell you, I am from the Sayyid, Hyderabad. Is there anybody Hyderabad here? God bless you. And there are people who, we have also more than. They say, I'm from the Sayyid. I said, yes, so. No, we Sayyid, we are not supposed to receive zakat. I said, well, uncle, you want sadaqah? No. No sadaqah, no zakat. What do you want? Karza hasana? Take it. Would you give it back? Maybe. I said, take it as a gift for khalas. So when we come to the idea of sadaqah or zakat, say, this is a gift from Allah. Then don't embarrass anybody because you don't know them and they don't know how you got it. Shall we receive money from somebody who is earning his money from haram? Anybody here is OB Gyno? We have one brother in Milwaukee, OB Gyno. He built a beautiful masjid and beautiful apartments and everything, $500,000. And he paid from his personal pocket. And anytime we go there and raise money, he pays $100,000 or $150,000 and whatnot. And his wife give us her jewelry, $8,000. And we buy it back to her through her husband, mashallah. Fantastic way. Somebody accused him, your money is haram. Why? My money is haram? He said, yes, because you are OB Gyno. So, what's OB Gyno haram? You know what is it. He said, you deliver babies. You are a man. You are not supposed to look. Therefore, you are haram. He's a medical doctor. I said, if he doesn't deliver babies, who's going to deliver babies? Those ladies, whether American, non-Muslim or Muslim, you want them to die because of nobody wants to help? So, you see, Muslims are ready to criticize, not only watching. You told me somebody make a history and somebody watch, somebody criticize. People would like to criticize for everything you do. If you want to listen to people, you will never do what you want to do. Let's make dua. After every session, we should make dua. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.